Your speaker on this program is Brother George W. DeHaan.
Some of you had loved ones in some of the great wars which have been fought in different parts of the world, and there has never been a good war, and there has never been a bad peace. But some of you have had loved ones who've come home from the war, and you remember how happy you were and how the news went out that the boys come home, and what a celebration you had. Well, think about the Lord Jesus Christ being gone from home 33 years, been down to the earth and suffered and died on the cross, and he came home. And they sang, "Lift up ye gates and be lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." That's highly figurative language, and I bring it up tonight for just one reason, to show that heaven is a real place. And then I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." Now the Jews talked about three heavens. The first heaven where the birds fly. The second heaven where the sun, moon, and stars are. And the third heaven somewhere out beyond and above in limitless infinite space, the holy habitation of God and the dwelling place of the spirits of just men made perfect. Paul said, "I knew a man 14 years ago caught up into the third heaven. I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words that it is not lawful for a man to utter." Now, Paul said he knew a man caught up into the third heaven where God is. And Paul said he didn't know whether that man had his body along or not. Well, that just means it could have been either way. It would be possible for a man to go to heaven body and all. Moses did that, so far as we know. Elijah certainly did that. He and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. You heard the story of the little girl who went to church. Her mother stayed home, and when the little girl got home, her mother said, "What did the preacher preach about?" She said, "Mama, the preacher preached about a man who walked with God every day. And every night he went to his own home, and God went back to his house. But one night they walked and walked, and they didn't notice that it was getting dark. And the man said, 'Goodness gracious me, it's already getting dark. I'll have to hurry home.' And God said, 'You won't need to go back home. You just walk on to my house with me, and you can live with me.' So the man walked on home with God." The mother knew that the little girl was talking about Enoch, who walked with God, and at the end of the journey, walked on into heaven itself. So heaven is a real place, an actual location. And Paul said he knew a man caught up into the third heaven, and he didn't know whether he had his body along or not. A man could go to heaven and leave his body down here on earth. I know he could, or else Paul would have known about it here. Paul said he didn't know which way it was. Paul is evidently talking about himself, because 14 years before this time, Paul had been stoned over at the city of Lystra and dragged through the streets and thrown on the junk pile outside of the city. The disciples thought he was dead, and he may have been. They stood around weeping, while they were weeping, God restored him, and he was able to get up and walk away. So Paul was probably talking about himself. Whether he's talking about himself or some other man, it makes no difference. Paul said, I knew a man 14 years ago caught up into the third heaven, and I don't know whether he had his body along or not. The real man, the soul, the spirit, the part which is in the image of God, is the invisible man. And this house in which we live is only the shell, and the real man moves out at the end of the journey and goes on to be with the Lord, and the body is left down here. Oh, I think I can illustrate that. Many years ago, I had a funeral service at Almaville, a dear little country church in Rutherford County near to Murfreesboro. And the young man, a preacher student from David Lipscomb College, who was assisting in the funeral, was talking, and he thought he would explain to the people what death is like. And he said, this is not the real man that's here. He has gone on into the presence of God, and this is only the shell. He said, it's like a walnut. There's the kernel inside, and then the shell on the outside. And he said, what we have here is only the shell. The nut has departed. And I had to get my head over to keep from laughing out loud, because it was a little bit humorous, but I knew what he meant. That the body is only the house in which we live. It's only the shell. And the real man had gone on to be with the Lord, had gone on in the presence of God. But I want you to notice further here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, I knew a man caught up into the third heaven, and he heard things. You don't have to have your body along to hear and talk and see and know and feel. Luke 16, you remember the rich man and Lazarus, their bodies were left here, but they had gone on somewhere else. But Paul said, this man caught up into the third heaven heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Do you know why not? Because God has already told us in his word everything that he wants us to know about the next world. And all of these people who claim they have a special message from heaven don't have it. All of these people who claim they have been to heaven and come back, they haven't. If they had, they wouldn't be able to tell anything. Paul knew a man who had actually been to heaven. And when he got back, he didn't advertise. He was going to lecture on what he saw while he was in heaven. God wouldn't let him tell a thing he saw. Everything God wants us to know about the spirit world, he has already told us in the Bible. He has already told us in his word. I was reading a book one day about Ms. Ellen G. White, the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and Ms. White died and went to heaven. No, she did, because she said she did. And then she came back, and she said while she was up there, the Lord told her the most important commandment in the Bible. And it was the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, if the Lord really told her that, he sure had changed his mind, because when he was here on earth, people came and asked him, which is the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is to love God. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if the Lord really told her that, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, it was the greatest commandment in the Bible, he sure had changed his mind, because the last message we had was that loving God is the greatest commandment on earth, and that loving your neighbor is the second greatest commandment. And some of our brethren criticized Miss White for saying she went to heaven and the Lord told her that. I really never did criticize her myself, and I'll tell you why. Because if you'd read the Bible through 100 times, you wouldn't find any place where the Lord said for Christians to keep Saturday the Sabbath day, keep the Jewish Sabbath. You'd have to take a trip to glory or somewhere else to find that out. You couldn't find it out for reading the Bible. And so I really never did criticize Ms. White too severely about that. By the way, she said she died again and went up again. And the Lord had the Ten Commandments on 2 tables of stone and had a halo around that 4th commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And if I had a little streak of meanness in me, I would tell you that Ms. White came back and she finally died the last time, and we haven't heard where she went that time because she hadn't come back to tell about it. But the point I want to make here from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is that heaven is a real place and that God has already told us in His Word everything He wants us to know about the spirit world. You remember Lazarus, who was dead for 3 days, and the Lord raised him from the dead in the 11th chapter of John. You don't find Lazarus making speeches on what I saw while I was in the spirit world for 3 days. When he came back, the curtain was dropped on that, and he couldn't tell anything about it. No person on earth knows more about what's in heaven and what's in the spirit world than what you can learn from your own Bible. It's there that God has told us what He wants us to know, what He wants us to believe, and what He wants us to do. Then the last 2 chapters in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, tells us, even in closing the Bible, that the heaven is a great city, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high, a city 4 square, and that this great city has the river of life flowing through the midst of the city, and the tree of life growing on either side of the river, bearing its fruit 12 months in the year, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, I suppose that's figurative language, just meaning that there won't be any sickness and there won't be any disease in heaven. But even if it's literal that we're going to go to a city where there's a tree, that the leaves of that tree will heal any kind of disease, I'd just like to have a literal tree of that kind. So whether literal or figurative wouldn't make any difference. And John said that in this city there's no pain, no suffering, no death, no funeral services, no separation, no hungry children crying for bread, no aged saints suffering alone and praying for somebody to come for them and take them on home to glory. All of that gone. We enter into the celestial city, and he said that the people there was an innumerable multitude out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, every nation under heaven, gathered up there and singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And then he said, there is no night there. Well, now, that sounds great, except that there are a lot of people in the world that bow their backs beneath the hot rays of the sun, and the only rest they get is when night comes and the cool of the day. And so to tell them that there is no night wouldn't be a very desirable place. But he didn't even end this sentence. He said, the heat of the sun will never fall upon them, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I notice that some of our songbooks, the writers of songbooks, get scared that we won't understand what the Book of God teaches, and they go through changing the words in the song so people will not be misled. I never did think very much of that. You'll be singing along and suddenly find out they changed it, but one of them, you know, which said, "We'll reign with him through endless days," why, he changed that to "live with him," because we wouldn't be reigning when we got to heaven. I asked the author of the book one day, I said, "How silly can you get? Revelation said that they reigned with the Lord forever and ever." And so I said, "I'm going to go up there and reign forever and ever with the Lord when we get to heaven. An endless city. The street is paved with gold. The walls are made of jasper. Every gate is of a solid pearl." And he just describes this city, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. And I'd like to go to a city of that kind. And the Bible teaches that when we leave here, we can go to that heavenly home. And then furthermore, the Bible teaches that when we leave here, we can go to be with the Lord. We can see him face to face. The Lord who loved us, who died for us, and whom we preached about and sung about and through whom we prayed for all of these years, we can see him face to face and know him. You know, I like to see great men, and when I've had an opportunity, I remember when I was a college student, I had an opportunity to see Franklin D. Roosevelt and hear him speak, and that was back in the days when everybody thought the president was a great man before everybody started debunking whoever we have for president. And man, I thought it was just a thrilling thing to see President Roosevelt. And then, in later years, when I've been in some country and had an opportunity to see the king or the prime minister or some of the great men of the world, it's always been a thrill to me as a country boy from Tennessee to see these great men. Well, now you think what it'd be like to go to heaven and see the 12 apostles. You'd have a hard job writing down the names of 12 men who had more influence in the world than the 12 apostles. You just couldn't do it. If you start then to write men who had a great influence in the world for either good or bad, you probably wouldn't even get off on one hand when you started naming them, and then you'd kind of run out of who you was going to name. And yet, these 12 apostles have had more influence than any 12 men who ever lived on the face of the earth. And we can see them. We can see the Old Testament prophets. We can sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the eternal kingdom which the Lord has gone to prepare. And I want to see the three Hebrew children who were cast into the burning fiery furnace, because they made the most thrilling statement I ever read in my life. You remember when they said, "You're going to worship this old image, and if you don't do it, we're going to throw you into the burning fiery furnace." They said, "Our God is able to deliver us." But that isn't the thrilling part. The next part's what's thrilling. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that it won't make any difference anyway." I like that. Somebody who believes something and who knows it's the truth and his heart is set on it, that he says, "God is able to take care of me, but if not, it's not going to make any difference anyway. This is the way it is." And so they said, "Our God is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, but if not, be it known unto thee that This is right where we stand, and it's not going to make any difference. Isn't that a thrilling thing that they would say that? And I'd like to see them and talk with them. And then the Bible teaches that we can see our loved ones who have gone before and be reunited with them. I have people ask me all the time, say, "Oh, Brother DeHoff, you think you'll know his body in heaven?" Well, I know people now, and I hate to think I wouldn't have as much sense when I got to heaven as I got now. The Bible doesn't teach that we're going to be victims of amnesia and not know anybody. We'll know ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body. Well, suppose you come up to judgment. The Lord said you're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. You say, "What body, Lord? Don't think you'll remember that I ever had one." Don't you see how silly that is? And in the 7th chapter of Matthew, our blessed Lord said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?'" They remember when they get up to the judgment what they did back here on earth. And in Matthew chapter 25, our Lord said to some people, "I was hungry and you wouldn't feed me. I was thirsty and you wouldn't give me any food." And they said, "Wait a minute, Lord, when do we ever see you hungry or thirsty?" The Lord said, "Don't you remember the hungry people back in your neighborhood on earth, and you wouldn't do anything about it? Inasmuch as you did it to them, you did it to me. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And then to some other people, the Lord said, all this in Matthew 25, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. You gave me food. I was in prison and you visited me. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." And somewhat with a trace of embarrassment, they said, "Lord, when do we ever see you hungry?" And the Lord said, "Don't you remember the hungry people that you fed back there on earth? Inasmuch as you did it to them, you did it to me." Why, we not only are going to know who we are when we get to heaven, but we're going to remember giving a hungry man a hamburger when we're back here on earth. And we're going to remember our loved ones and be reunited with them in a place where there's no death, no sorrow, no funeral services, and no separation. People say, "Well, we're going to have spiritual bodies." Why, we surely will. But the Bible teaches that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, just suppose I come up to the judgment and the Lord reads Charles Gentry's name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I'd know who that is. If I went somewhere tomorrow and somebody read his name, I'd know who that is. Now, I might look over there and see his new body and say, "I never thought the Lord would fix him up to look like that." Because I don't know what we'll look like, whatever the Lord wants us to look like, but the Bible teaches that we'll meet our loved ones and know them. If we don't, whenever you close the casket on your loved one, you said the last goodbye. But I want to tell you, you haven't said the last goodbye. You've only said goodbye for a very short time. You'll say good night here and good morning up there almost before we know it. You too will join them in death and go to be with them in the home which our blessed Lord has gone to prepare. Don't you remember the Bible said Abraham died and was gathered to his people? Well, what difference would it make whether he is gathered to his people or not if he didn't know them when he got there? First, when he was gathered home, he knew the people. And then David's baby died. You remember that story. All of us who've raised children know that story. Because his baby boy was sick. And David was so upset that he went in his bedroom and cried and prayed that he wouldn't even get up and take a bath or put on fresh clothing or eat food or anything. He was just worried to desperation. And the child died. And when the child died, the servant said, "We better not tell him." And he heard the servants whispering in the hall, and he said, "Is the child dead?" They said, "Yes, the child is dead." He said, "I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him." He got up, took a bath, put on fresh clothing, ate food, and came out and started doing the work which the king was supposed to do. How many empty-armed mothers and broken-hearted fathers have bent over the casket of a little one and said, "I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him." And certainly we can at the end of the journey. When time and timely things have passed away, when we finish our work here, we go home to be with the Lord. The spirit which came from God, the soul, goes back to God. Only the body which came from the dust of the earth is here. But the spirit takes its flight to mansions in the sky which our blessed Lord has gone to prepare. Yes, heaven is a great city. It's the home of the soul. It's the place which the Lord has gone to prepare for those who love him. And the beautiful part about that is anybody who wants to go to heaven can go to heaven. Anybody can go to heaven if you want to. But you've got to want to go enough to do what the Lord has said for you to do. What would folks think if you got out here and said every day, you said, I'm going to McMinnville, and you didn't even go in that direction, headed off in the other direction? Why, they'd have an idea you're not going to arrive in McMinnville. Well, people out here talking about, "I hope to go to heaven." But you don't see any sign of it. You don't make any preparation. When the saints meet on the Lord's Day, they don't go. Yet they talk about they're going to go to heaven. I want to tell you something. You're going to have a hard job making anybody believe you're on the way to heaven if you don't even start. Senator Vance went home down in North Carolina from Washington. That's back in the days when Congress just met 2 or 3 months out of the year and folks went home the rest of the year. He went home down there and one of his nigger slaves was preaching, having a big revival meeting. He was preaching about the Lord has elected us to go to heaven. Senator Vance came out there and he said, "Now you believe I'm elected to go to heaven, don't you?" And his lady said, "Martha, I never did hear tell of you getting into this campaign. I didn't know you'd announced to be elected." Well, now I want to tell you, not many people get elected to a political office if they're not candidates and they don't even announce. And what gives you the idea you're elected to go to heaven and you haven't even gotten the campaign yet? Haven't even announced yourself a candidate. Haven't even made any effort to do what the Lord said for you to do in order to be saved. So I want to suggest to you tonight that if you'd like to go to this wonderful home which the Lord has gone to prepare, if you'd like to meet your loved ones who've gone before and be reunited with them and be with them forever in the presence of God, you ought to obey the Lord's gospel, come into his kingdom and live for him day by day. And at the end of the journey, which cannot be very long, even at the most for any of us, you can both go to be with the Lord in this celestial city. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? Wouldn't you like to do that? If so, and you're not ready, we want you to come tonight and obey the Lord's gospel.
Has just presented another great sermon from men who believed, lived, and preached the Word of God. Tune in again for another sermon preached by those great men of the past on Pioneer Preachers.